Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Welcome back to the Challenge Global World Championships Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 10. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alastair. Ali, how are you?
I'm doing great. I feel like we got our warm-ups in. We're a little chatty tonight before the pod, so I feel like we're just continuing the conversation. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. I thought another good episode that Jordan and Tori did their absolute best to torpedo, but for the most part, a pretty strong episode.
Can I say something controversially at Brave?
Of course.
Because I saw a lot of like immediate, like Wednesday morning, like the show just became available. Matt Liguori is on Twitter. Other people are on Twitter, like not happy with Tori and Jordan. Can Jordan and Tori just pair up and get eliminated, whatever? So I'm like, ooh, what's this going to be about? It was like a nice, it was a non-spoilery, but like appetizer to like watching. So then when I watch, what else would have happened this episode if not for fake grandstanding drama about throwing yourself in possibly? Like, we'll critique the actual, like, insane. Like, I'm not insane. They're insane. But, like, I do think it sort of saves us from, like, having nothing to talk about today.
I mean, it would have been interesting to see them make a decision, like, Tori make a decision, theoretically, between Jordan and Casey. I think one of the biggest things that comes out of this is I kind of feel like I have to give a little bit of an apology to Danny, because now I kind of understand what his fear was all along with wanting to get out either Jordan or Casey. I don't know if he saw the tea leaves coming that Tori might do something like throw themselves in, but I feel like I have to give him a little bit of an apology for me thinking like him going after Tori's number one was stupid, because actually it almost cost them dearly.
Well, it's like it was. So taking that one step at a time, like, would it have been interesting to see Tori decide? There is no decision, right? Like, I know Jordan and Tori are not together, but even if Nani and Casey, God forbid, broke up, but Casey is there, like, everybody knows that Casey is truly Tori's number two. I don't really think, like, if push comes to shove, that's not a decision. And then we can talk about the Jordan's intervention. But I want to be charitable to Tori and Jordan, because I think Tori is just like a really good person on the challenge that has caught some tough breaks, like being cast with her ex-fiance on a show. And of course, that becomes like her whole narrative. Mm-hmm. And this edit, and she's doing it and she's saying the things. It's not great. I do think if it like wasn't Tori and Jordan, this story could have been told very differently in like what a masterful plan executed by Jordan to like make a 1 week deal with Yes and Emily, go to stalemate knowing that like Casey's going to get thrown in, or like it just the story being told that like all of these people are really going to throw themselves in when I don't think they were going to, like, makes them look like a real drain on the season versus the focus being on what ends up actually happening. And that gets yada yada in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like the producers had to know by diving into this arc thing. It really does torpedo a lot of any sort of like ability that Jordan could have had at all this season. I don't think he was at all unlikable. I thought he was like a pretty tame version of himself. But this episode was like a good reminder of the bad side of Jordan, why he can't be like such a beloved figure, not to on top of all the other stuff he's done, but he's just such a dick sometimes that it's just impossible to truly like him always, because he's just so over the top condescending to people when you least want him to be. And this was a prime example of it with Kaz, who did nothing to deserve the treatment that he kept giving her.
But is that why Jordan is a good person on the show? Like, I don't think anybody stumps for Jordan full time as like he's so likable. And I don't think they want him to be likable. Like, I think this is the exact edit, the ideal edit he's like intended to get, that he has this like deep, complicated love for Tori and also this like toxic sense of competition, and is willing to stomp on anyone for the glorification of his massive ego, right, to quote Seinfeld. Right, so like, right. I think this is like, it wouldn't be the episode I'd submit. It's probably the episode they clip that they show again. Like every time they show Jordan flipping over the tiles in Free Agents and Angel Gets Its Wings. But like, this is a great episode to sort of explain the complicated relationship I think you're supposed to as a viewer have with Jordan.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just, we just invested so much in Jordan and Tori for so long on Challenge 38 that I felt like when we reached the end of that season, like we should just be, I know we can't be done with like their relationship. Obviously they're still going to have their history whenever they're on a show, but I just wanted the show to like cleanse itself of this dynamic and to see it so heavily influence this episode, where if this was Jordan stumping for like a close friend, like some other, like a guy that he just like was like his best friend. I don't even know who Jordan's like best guy friend is at this point anymore. But if it was something for him, like at least it's something different. I just feel like we've been down this road so much with Jordan and Tori, and to do it again, it just felt like, oh my God, just like these two just go away and let freaking Danny and Kaz be paired together so we could just have something like interesting.
I mean, that's fair. I think I seem to have a longer rope for Tori and Jordan, if only because I don't view it any differently than any of the other sort of ride or die relationships. And I totally get it. Like I'm surprised that I have more bandwidth for this, mm-hmm. but like we've been saying all season, and I agree, this is like more of a check in Danny's column of like logic, where it's like, if at the point where you're willing to throw yourself in, I think normally we love that. Not we, like the collective audience of any show. Like you want to go to rocks for your alliance. That's crazy. That's cool TV. You want to like go in before you put your friend in because you think you have a better chance to win, or because you owe them one, or because of last season or whatever. Like that can be, we will ridicule you, but like, that can be fun. That can be interesting to watch. What makes this maybe lose me a little bit, it's not just the Jordan Tori. It's that, like you're saying with Danny, like Tori's, what makes someone going to rocks cool, or what even makes like an Amanda Zach like stalemate where they end up going in interesting to watch, is like the person might consider themselves otherwise in jeopardy if they don't make this move. So yes, I'm going to rocks. I'm putting myself in direct jeopardy, but in 2 weeks I might get voted out if I don't go to rocks now, because I have to save my alliance. It's not just a favor to my friend. It's also better in my game. Here, Tori is the safest person in the house, as Danny accurately says, and she will be saved by her relationships with Danny. And she really should just fall on the sword, because that's the way the end of the game shook out. Her team didn't win. Her team's in jeopardy, like her alliance, and therefore she can't do anything. And the fact that she's still trying to, she's willing to put herself in jeopardy despite her safety, basically safe walk to the final, that is confusing to me. But not as confusing as how I just explained it. So sorry to everyone.
No, it's totally accurate. I totally agree. It was some of those other moments where you see people like with Amanda, like bringing it down Zach, or even like you can understand, like for them personally it matters, and you're not bringing down an innocent bystander. Like taking Kaz down or taking Danny down is them just being unfortunately paired with you at that moment when you're doing it. When Jordan doing it is on his own, that's fine. When Amanda's doing it, it's because Zach is bringing her down with her. Like you have to, if Danny and Kaz went out like this, that would have just been so horrible for them, because they like they weren't trying to go into elimination. They did nothing wrong to go into elimination. It's just their partners couldn't, you know, make sort of any sort of decision. So that would have been the more frustrating outcome.
What do you make of Danny's like, she's all bark and no bite? She is saying that because she knows I'll never allow it. Like, what would have happened if Tori was like, I'm nominating myself and Danny doesn't agree? Like, how do you think that gets handled?
I think it goes. I mean, the only way they absolutely would have gone in is if everyone else voted for them. I think with this stalemate rule, it kind of takes the pressure off almost a little bit for the voting, because if they can't form any sort of decision, they know it's not going to happen. So unless Tory actually rallied up everyone to do it, it wasn't going to happen. And not only just get them voted in, but then also have Emily and Yes follow through and vote them in as well. So it probably was like a, I think she was genuine. Like, she didn't want to say Jordan or Casey, so she would have thrown herself in. But it did feel like, I don't know how it would have played out to get her to go in.
I wish we could walk back what I think like the Gold Skull twist may be partly responsible for, of sort of this like new era. And it's not new era because these aren't new era players, but like this overwhelming, like, if you avoid elimination, then you haven't earned your spot in the final. And like Tori's whole philosophy that seems to be like from the Jordan school of thought, mm-hmm. of like, I'm coasting, I haven't contributed for my alliance, I'm in this position I don't deserve. Well, like, no, Danny picked you because you're a reputation. Like, you could walk it back to all these things. Like, what is deserving your friendships, right, and your alliances, your relationships? But anyway, like, it's a completely valid game to rely on the relationships and allies that you've built and your partner has built. And you don't need to go into an elimination to deserve the title of global champion. And that part also, like, was infuriating that Jordan and Tori were spouting that nonsense.
Yeah, especially from people like Jordan and Tori. Like, as much as I disagree with it, if you're like a newcomer coming in, I'm sure there is some sense of wanting to like prove yourself to the crowd and feel like you do belong to be there, just from your own self-worth status. But what did Tori and Jordan have to prove to anyone? Tori literally just won. Jordan's won multiple times. Who are you proving to that you could just win like a random elimination at this moment in time? Like, there's nothing to prove there. If it's someone new, like, I disagree with it, but at least I can somewhat rationalize it of where they're coming from. But Tori just won the freaking show. Like, what does she have to prove by going into an elimination here?
No, it's a great point. Like, I almost need to listen to Tori explain this, because again, like, I don't think this was ever. I agree that the sentiment might have been genuine and maybe like the thought crossed her mind, but I think Jordan and Tori both knew they were never going in. Like, I have to believe that, even if I'm dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost the problem is with like the fact that you have to vote in two teams and get the other one voted in. Yeah, it does create like an easy out, a cop out basically of, all right, well, if we're going to all pretend to vote for each other, then no one has to make a decision.
And it's still like, I'm still like, where is this close friendship with Casey and Tori that makes her even in the conversation with Jordan? It's like, Is it truly just the money from last season?
The vacation alliance is, you know, they got to cover their all-inclusive resorts at the next place.
But Casey's reaction to all of this, like when Jordan pitches it to her and she's like, yeah, okay, like Jordan would definitely give up his game for Tori, but like for me, I think Casey like had, again, another great episode, and we've talked about this before, but I feel like we haven't read this in a little while. Meg said, is this Casey's best season, enjoyability and visibility wise? Why haven't they been showing her like this on the challenge proper?
I mean, I think without Nani, you know, she's, has to maneuver around the house more. She has to be in different conversations. She's in, you know, she was involved in a little bit of a drama situation of switching partners. Like, she's been involved in more stuff than she typically is. So I think we're seeing it a little bit more. I mean, Casey's always been like that, very like even keeled, like able to think things through, like, pretty good reading of people, having good conversations. And she's kind of just been more forced to do it just because she doesn't have like her comfort in Nani.
But let's also acknowledge, like, you had a drinking game rule on the board that was anytime Casey has a confessional, that's not just explaining the challenge. And that didn't get hits often. So, like, I think they're also just showing a lot more of it. And it's like, a good argument to be made. Maybe it is, like, because as I say, a lot of time, like, this social player, like a Casey, doesn't get a good edit because, like, how do you kind of show that? It's not just a challenge problem, it's survivor problems, big brother problems. Like, how do you show someone who just advances because they're really likable and good socially on television? But I think her confessionals, her interactions with her partner and their like dual confessionals, I think it's a case that she should be shown more. I mean, I have to assume if they had it, they'd show it. But like suddenly they have good material from her and they haven't in the last 5 seasons.
I don't know. Maybe she's somehow getting more comfortable on camera. I know she's been doing this for so long, but like, obviously, like I said, she was doing it with Nani. She did it with her brother. Like she had other stuff going. Like maybe she's like finally settling into herself, her personality on the show. I don't know. But she is bringing more to it than before. That's definitely for sure.
Taking a quick step back, this isn't worth noting, but here I am noting it. Since when did we know that Kellyanne and Tristan were Kiki and Jarrell's favorite team in the house?
Since when? No, I don't know. I think the last couple of weeks, I guess. I feel like they've been forming. They formed a decent bond there. But yeah, I don't think it's really mattered because each of them keep losing. So
yeah, okay. But it's not a surprise to anyone that we get this like narration of Sarah and Danny having no intention to follow through on the deal with Tori and Jordan. And they end up not having to do it, right? Because Yes and Emily win. But
perfectly timed swimming challenge. Perfectly timed. But yeah.
Well, no, but see, I was like,
no, I'm just kidding. Will,
no, but I did have the thought that's like, if anyone thinks these challenges are set up or ordered, whatever, like production. Doesn't want Yes and Emily to win, right? Because they want to see how Sarah and Danny default. Absolutely. On this and that blow up.
Yeah, no, but it was just like if Emily could draw up a challenge, like it'd be like, oh, could we all just like swim a lot and like have everyone get super tired? That would be great. Can we do that, please?
I mean, Yes and Emily didn't win the last swimming challenge, but I think they were actually buoyed, pun intended, by Yes being tied to her directly.
Right.
She didn't have to go back out and drag him with her feet.
Like, which I feel like is kind of dangerous in water. Like, I feel like if you're struggling to swim, I feel like having someone like swim you while you're like flopping around is not like the safest thing. I feel like that's like kind of dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, you could be challenged medical. Like,
you don't want anyone medically separated underwater. That's not great.
Baselessly, I just have to believe it would never even get to that. Like by the time somebody's remotely struggling, they tap out, or you see like Cass grab her life vest, like self-administered, like, I'm a little tired.
You can get me now. You can come save me now.
There's probably an argument to be made that everybody should mandatory be wearing the life vest. But right.
At least they're giving people I was surprised they were even giving Kiki like an asthma inhaler. Like that's a big step up, I feel like. Normally they just let her like just flounder out there and be medevac.
You have severe asthma and we're going to withhold your medication until you flap around. But it's interesting, right? Because in a show like Survivor, where yes, you may be playing to come back at some point, if you come back, you're very rarely going to be playing with a lot of people from your season, like whatever. If Sarah comes back to the challenge, like she will be playing with all of the same people, or not all of it, but a lot of the same people. Certainly Jordan and Tori are in the conversation of definite people who would be there, and I'm glad she's not lying to the camera, right? Like Rob always says, like, don't lie to me, lie on the show. I like that we're getting a confessional from Sarah being like, okay, obviously I need Yes and Emily to win because I have no intention of honoring this deal. But like the damage, that's just as damaging as doing it. Like, but if that's a 10 out of 10 betrayal, going home and watching it is like a 6 out of 10 betrayal.
Interesting. Do you think, I don't know. I think it's much lower than that. I think not doing it on the show, I don't think months later watching it back would have nearly the impact of actually having to back out in the moment. I feel like if you watch that, some of these people might not even have watched the show, honestly. I feel like by the time they're playing with Casey, what the heck's her name? Sarah again. It's completely forgotten about.
Okay, fair enough. It's a good point that these people don't actually watch a show.
We know that the reunion hosts certainly don't, so sure some of the cast don't too.
Speaking of not watching the show, did Emily see the same thing we saw? Because when Emily did her little recap justification of why she's going to target Troy, and I loved Casey and Troy's like drop the BS confessional before they end up going into an elimination about like, yeah, it's not because I sent a warning shot to her. Like, I was very frustrated with Emily's justification this episode. She should just say, I've become closer with the US and so sorry to Troy. Not like Troy deserves my betrayal. She's been telegraphing this since episode one that she was going to clip them before they clip her. And when she's going through all of everything that happened and why Kiki and Troy turned against her and betrayed her, I was like, did you forget when you and Grant were on here and you were totally ignoring them right. and you were fine with Kiki going to an elimination? Like, do we watch the same show?
Yeah, they were tossing up Kiki as like the sacrificial lamb. I think week one. So yes. the lines were drawn from there on.
Yeah, I was very, very frustrated with like the retroactive justification. Just say you didn't build a relationship with him. It's fine. I like, you don't need to like be the hero of the story.
Right. At this point in the season, just because you're from the same country, like, you're right, you should be able to split apart, work with different people. That's, I feel like, what the show is, you know, based on.
And we don't see, like, Kiki and Troy trying to band together and get Emily on their side. Like, we do see the work Sarah and Danny are putting into that relationship. And Troy's now with Casey, who's working with the teams whose closest allies are trying to get Emily and Yes out. So, like, like, I don't need the morality behind it. Like, it's good strategy to send them in.
Yeah, they've all been kind of plotting the Australians at each other. So this is not some big moment here.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We already talked about the swim challenge, but any other thoughts on like the actual? I was going to say a word that didn't make sense here, so I'll just say nothing.
No, just, I mean, Jordan grabbed the wrong piece. Obviously, if that was Kaz or Nisa, God forbid, Jordan, might be institutionalized right now. So, he made the mistake. He owned up to it, but there's nothing not to own up to. It's not like he could pass the buck to someone, but it would have been, as Kaz notes, a very different story if she made the mistake. Crazy that he thought the rel would just be like, oh yeah, I'll grab one of your pieces because you grab one of mine. Like, what are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, it was sort of like Jordan was trying to play it off as like a courtesy, like, oh, we already grabbed your piece from there. It's like, No, absolutely not. It was giving right. Albert drop your stack. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was fun. I thought it was like impressive again, like in terms of like showing Jordan's faults, like this being sort of like a perfect encapsulation of Jordan, like being a jerk, agreeing with Cass that he would have like pushed her in the pool, quote unquote, if she had made a mistake, agreed with you, it would have been way worse. Mm-hmm. But what a feat of athleticism, a display of athleticism from Jordan. He stays with Emily the whole time.
Right.
I mean, if they didn't have to do that extra lap, they would have been right there with them. They were already right there with them, even with the extra lap, which is incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. And he like anticipates, like, I know this is going to be how many triangles are make up the whole. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's like really just like kind of showing his chops here.
Yep.
And it's not enough. Even even the best competitor makes a mistake and it's game ending.
Yeah. I like the extra twist of like you only get a certain number of guesses. I thought that was a good thing to add. It was right to be like, it's 13, it's 12, it's 11, it's 14. Like that was good that they thought ahead, at least added that. That added an extra layer of drama to the puzzle guessing.
I totally agree. Also, I like how it was like the baby version. It was like the Puzzle Junior of Survivor.
Right.
Like, it was kind of there all day if it was the same.
Like this was basically you had to do like the brawn and the brain of like that's like the first part was basically what they had to do. And then the second part is also what they had to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like this challenge. They did definitely show us like people getting back out of order. It's like mm-hmm. people were back with like their third piece before someone was back with one. I feel like they showed Kiki using the inhaler and then they showed her calling for the inhaler and the same angle. Like I was a little like, all right, this is a little jumbled. I'm not really, I don't think it's like accurately telling us who's in the lead and who's not.
Yeah. Refreshing to have them all go at once. I feel like we haven't had one of these in a little bit with a lot of different stages and heats. So it's nice to just have a clear resolution as to who is going to win. That was nice.
Yeah, but especially then we still have six heats.
Like, right. But then I feel like once we got the win, they kind of yada yada the rest of it down to the end.
Agreed. I did feel like Daryl and Kiki were going to lose the whole time, but I was rooting for them. Like, even though this, I think, is the most interesting outcome, or I hope this would be the most interesting outcome, that like Daryl and Kiki are automatically in, so you can't nominate them. And yes, and Emily win. So like now you have to see, like you're saying, choices be made, but like they kind of avoided that. But I was sad for Kiki and Daryl. I've been rooting for them.
I mean, really, the more exciting for the viewer would have been S and Emily not winning, right? Because then it would have been interesting to see if Sarah backed out or how she got out of it. Was it a full betrayal? Like that would have been probably the best outcome that we could have seen of Sarah not winning, not losing, and Emily, not winning and not losing, and all of them having to kind of decide.
Yeah, and I guess whoever wins, then it would just be a pawn team like last week. I was just thinking, like when they take the like. Goat, I don't mean greatest of all time, like the goat team that you could just keep voting in out of it.
Yeah.
Then who do you send in? TJ gave a kind of confusing closing remark here. You ended up losing, but you definitely got it done. I think like by definition, they did not get it done, which is why they lost.
That is correct. If they got it done, they wouldn't have finished last.
I meant to ask, I was thinking of this today while I was watching it. Do you think that the other hosts from the other countries are going to be at the final?
That's a good question. I was going to say, I think so, but I probably not. Like they really haven't been there since the premiere other than when TJ got the Hall of Fame induction. So unless they're flying the back, there's no way they've just been hanging out there this whole time. So I would say probably not.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was like, I think they probably should be there, but again, they're not housing them this whole time. And then it's like how much it's probably an expensive flight to get them out there.
I mean, I'm surprised they really haven't been. I thought they would be here all season. I thought that it was going to be all of them hosting, doing different things, or at least couple them at the daily, couple them at the elimination. I'm very surprised at how little all the other hosts have been used. Maybe they didn't want to pay them all together, but it was very surprising about how they like talked up all the hosts. I feel like being a part of the show and they just like haven't been.
I agree. I wish we saw them a little bit more, maybe especially like on a one-off basis, like, you know, like TJ's wife came for something, like, you know, they're at an elimination. One of them is at an elimination. One of them is at the challenge. One of them is at, because I was a little bit wary when I thought there were going to be four hosts. Cause I was like, this show does not require four hosts.
Right.
No
show and does, I think it, really.
Yeah. And it diminishes TJ's position a little bit. It's like, he's the host of the U.S. challenge. This is a U.S. challenge. Like, that's probably not a global opinion, but like that was sort of my little like, I don't like change opinion, but it has been weird that they're not there at all. It'd be nice if they were there for the final.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe they will be. Maybe they'll be each in the different checkpoints or something.
But we talked about sort of these decisions already, but Kyle says, how do y'all feel about Jordan and Tori competing to throw themselves in to save each other? To me, I wonder if they're taking lists less seriously than a regular MTV show and so are more willing to throw themselves in.
At least for Jordan, definitely not, because as he says, he's done this before, and I feel like he is the type of person that would do this in the moment. And I don't think so for Tori. I think they're both just like genuinely didn't want to go against their friends. I mean, Tori made that very clear in an earlier episode. She was like, if you're going to portray someone you're close with, you have to have a very good reason to do so, because it could really damage your positioning in the future. And I don't think she wants to force a decision with Casey and Jordan, because she wants to have each of them still very much with her the next time one of them is on and the other one's isn't. So I think they were both genuine.
It is a little bit interesting too, because like we know that they've just come off of sort of the reconciliation where like they didn't talk or see each other for like 2 years or whatever it was. Then they were like in the house, it was contentious, they were trying to look out for each other, but Jordan had this thing with Nerese and like there was like constant problems, and then they sort of left that season in a better place, in the best place they've been in since they broke up. And like now this is the immediate next step. So like, will it be like this the rest of their challenge careers? Maybe, maybe not. Like maybe this is just sort of like proof of concept of their new friendship. I don't know.
I think it'll be interesting if and when Jordan actually, if he is like, has a real number one, because I think Tori could have, like, obviously she has a couple other people that should be like her number one. So I think if push comes to shove and Jordan's now like if Jordan still had Naya in the game, I think that would at least create more of an intrigue where he would have someone that he probably, I don't even know, if would definitely, I don't know how, I mean, like I said, that would be an interesting decision to see how he would handle that, like if he had to choose between Naya and Tori. So I think that's like the layer we need next, not just them looking out for each other and, you know, being buddy-buddy. We need like actual key decision-making to happen.
Well, here's the thing. While I agree with you that that Tori's motivation is coming from like an emotional, heartfelt place, before Jordan even said it himself, when he was having this conversation with Kaz, I was like, oh, Jordan, or first he has a conversation with Casey, then later Kaz, if you could call that a conversation with Kaz.
You're right.
Jordan does not want to protect Tori from making a, quote, difficult decision. Jordan wants to protect himself from being at the mercy of anyone else. So in this case, Emily and yes, deciding to throw him in. So he wants to take the power from anybody else. He does not like to be controlled. He wants the power for himself. And the only way to do that is to throw yourself in and not be just like they may have been voted in anyway. And then later, even with the stalemate, it's like, I'm going to make this ridiculous deal where I promise not to win next week if you don't put me in now, and then I force a stalemate, and then the only other option is Casey. So now I've tied your hands, and Sarah doesn't get to decide, and Danny doesn't get to decide, and Emily doesn't get to decide.
Yeah, that's really always been Jordan's, one of probably his biggest fatal flaw, is like his ego, his like self-worth, his needing to be in control of everything. Like that's like sometimes him being in control is really good because he knows how to do things, but sometimes it's very bad and torpedoes everyone around him. So that's you know, Jordan's Achilles heel.
Like if Jordan was in Tori's position and he was Sarah's partner and like they were not in jeopardy of being thrown in, I don't even think we see Jordan consider talking about going in himself. Because he's put Tori in all kinds of shitty situations. He put Tori in a shitty situation all season last season. Like, he's not trying to save her from anything difficult.
Yeah, he called her a terrorist.
And that's the thing. That's perfect. Jordan will use anything to justify. So I do think if he were in this situation with Naya and Tori, like, he would have found a foot fault somebody made and said, well, now you force my hand and I have to make a move against you, like he did with Tori and Fessy.
I am surprised. I'm surprised after all this, we got a lot of Kaz being very upset with Jordan that he was threatening to do this. Like, how could you do this? All this stuff. Very justifiably so, obviously. But I was surprised we didn't really get a confessional from her after the fact of whatever, like the deal, or did she like get through to him? Like, I was waiting for a relieved or anything confessional. I just feel like we didn't like see it.
There was a big gap between the attitude we were getting from Jordan and then him telling us, I've now decided Kaz is the only thing that matters and yeah. I have to focus on my team. But he doesn't even do that, because I feel like Jordan's a man of his word. And if he committed to losing the next challenge, then he will not win the next challenge. Or am I being naive?
No, I'm with you. I don't think we're going to get the same scene that we saw from Sarah being like, oh, how am I going to get out of this one? I think Jordan's going to be like, crap, I have to do this. I'm a man of honor.
So in what world is that? Like, Emily, from what we saw, Emily and Yes wanted Troy. Well, actually, not from what we saw. They had their pick of everyone and they chose Troy and Casey. But even without that deal, our understanding was that they wanted Troy and Casey. So they would have had the votes to put them up. You didn't need to make this 1 week deal to sacrifice yourself. So you're not prioritizing Kaz by making that deal.
And I don't think so. Kaz was not like in that flashback. She wasn't in the room for that chat, right?
I think she was. It was the four of them on the steps. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell if she was in
there. I think so.
Interesting. Yeah. I bet my
mediocre reputation on it, but.
Right. Well, maybe in the same form that this week, they'll do a challenge where Jordan like is like, I mean, they already did this type of one where he's like in like a coffin box and it's up to Kaz to, you know,
yeah.
do everything. So he can't be like, oh, I wasn't involved. Kaz won. What do you want me to do? Type thing.
Yeah, I think she was in the loop. Although, again, I thought she was sort of in the loop last time, but like last week, but she says that like the deal, she wasn't like looped in on the deal that ended up making it so that she had to put in Kellyanne and Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of crazy. I agree with you. I generally want to see more of Cass's take and how they got to that decision. Like, again, like I would have rather focused on what happened with Jordan Kaz getting to that deal with Emily and Yes, then whether or not Tori and Jordan are going to fall on their sword for each other.
Right. Yeah. That would have been a much more interesting storyline and like the real storyline. Cause that's kind of like the resolution of what went down. I would have loved to see that a little bit more.
Did you think at all that when TJ walks into the elimination and says, I told you not to do a stalemate again, that they were going to change the rules?
I didn't know. I feel like is this stupid to say that I feel like once the challenge is established or rule, they don't back out on it? Is that stupid to say? I feel like they probably do. I just can't remember if it is where they like declare this is the rule and then be like, actually, no, it's going to be something different this time.
I mean, the only thing I can think of like right off the top of my head is like how sometimes they bring somebody back and you stay, and sometimes you get eliminated and sometimes like in the same season. But
I think there's a lot of other extenuating circumstances with that. But like in a game rule, like I think they've done things where like people have assumed things and they've been like, no. But I think once they've like they never said like after a while, OK, Red Skulls actually don't mean you make the final. Like I think once they set a game rule, that's like just the rule.
Yeah, I just thought I didn't think it was going to happen until he said, like, I told you not to do this again. And so then you're right that they said, like, now the stalemate rule has been activated.
Right.
If they had just kind of said, like, since you couldn't decide, now the person in power is going to be, like, I'd have much more of a problem with what you're saying than if it was like, now the person in power is going to decide. Well, I told you not to let it happen again. So now I decide, or like now, like the person in power goes in, or like whatever. Because I do think this shouldn't be a fallback position that they just don't vote and they like game the system knowing the person in power is going to decide. Like that, I think we, for all of the reasons we've already said all season, this format was a fail. And especially since the second to last elimination is ending where they're not voting.
Yeah. And I think it could have easily been fixed if it was just they just reverse it and they just did Big Brother style, right, where the winner just has to pick two teams. There's no way to stalemate on picking two teams. Like the winner has to just pick two and then the house votes from there. That way you're not going to have any sort of this type of situation. I guess you could tie on the vote theoretically, but at least there's something, like people are, it's, they're voting actively.
Yeah, or separating the pairs voting. I still think now they probably couldn't have anticipated how much dissension there would be among pairs, so right. Fair enough to them. I wouldn't have expected it.
No, I agree.
But so Tori and Casey are going to go in Aussie versus Aussie at the hands of an Aussie situation that Emily has been talking about in her confessional since episode one. Kind of a lot to do here. Two puzzles, a math problem, and like a physical challenge.
Yeah, very multifaceted stuff. You're swinging, breaking a puzzle, putting back a puzzle, swinging through another wall. Very funny when they tried to break it and no one could get through. And they asked, like, TJ, was this like tested? But I guess it was supposed to not be easy, right? Otherwise, like, that's kind of loses the purpose. It should be hard to break through. But it was very funny to see like Troy and Casey and all of them just kind of like stuck right on the wall.
That was the most hysterical edit of like any elimination ever. When it's like all this like swelling music, it's like boop, like it was incredible edit.
It's the power of music, right? Because obviously they're not supposed to break through the first time. Like that would make an incredibly stupid elimination. So obviously there's supposed to be a struggle. And if they like showed like play like a, you know, a triumphant music when they finally broke through, like it's a totally different scene. Instead, it's like, you know, Josh can't lift the medicine ball, throw it, dodo music. Like it's just very, very different about how they put the music on top of it.
No, sounds like you've been listening to On Fire with Jeff Probst.
Is this just come up? Because actually I've dropped off. I can't listen to Jeff anymore. But
no, I haven't listened since I was on with Rob, actually. But no, he did one on editing and they like talked about like the music cues versus neutral music cues, like whatever.
Because that was top of mind because I saw a TikTok about how like there's this reality TV sound that was basically just created for reality TV where they can make, based off like a head movement, they can basically tell whatever story they want based off however sounds of like, oh, this person agrees with it, or oh, this person's very pissed, just based off a sound, not at all knowing what the person's actually thinking.
I recommend the podcast then if you're interested in that, because they show like the editor comes on and plays three clips. It doesn't really work because they're visual, but like re-edits it from like the same like fact, like someone finds an idol from like someone finds it the way they show it, someone finds it, it's neutral, and then like in reverse where like you don't know who found it and then whatever. It's interesting.
Okay. I'll
Jeff's like, it's the same facts told differently.
I can already hear. Yeah. I can already hear Pope's commentary to it. It's crazy. It's almost like people can perceive things differently. Wow.
That's the magic of the edit. But yeah, I like this. I loved the element of like you knock down the puzzle and like however much you knock down, if you can like get kind of small and knock it down with more control, you have less to do. It didn't really matter because I do think they should have had to restack all of it. Like I was like annoyed that like Troy and Casey were able to get through after Troy left like so much, so many bricks out. But yeah, they go through with quickness and win.
I will say like there's another layer that could have made it even more fun where it's like the type of challenge where it's like every like minute, like you have one person's doing the puzzle, one person swinging, and it's like every minute the person gets to swing and knock over the puzzle and you have to like do it until they knock it over. Like I feel like there was a much more fun way to do this one than just like slowly trying to knock your own pieces. I feel like trying to knock your opponent's pieces is a lot more interesting, kind of like the not like a not so fast challenge, but like for puzzles.
Okay, so that's interesting. What if it was like, it's like some combination of like the Ben West elimination where if you like get an equation right, you can go like swing through your partner, your like other opponent's
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. While the person's doing the puzzle and if the other person does something, they can swing down and make them start over.
Or like throw a ball, like a beanbag at it. Probably and like make that. Less damage. Yeah, that's interesting. That's really it. Jerome and Kiki lose. They're gone. I think it makes sense. I mean, it's a big loss. I really like Kiki and obviously I love Darrell, but like they weren't winning this. So.
No, but they both brought a lot. Darrell, the best cursing on the Paramount Plus version. Kiki, a great new addition. Gonna miss them both for sure. But not that long. It's only 2 weeks. So, you know.
Yeah. The pair definitely turned around for them or it went pear shaped for them. But here's something funny. We got a great comment from Emily from Iowa, and I want to read it, if you'll indulge me here. Not a question, but a story. My parents are in their 70s and have started watching the Challenge World Championships this season. It's their first challenge experience and found their way here because of their Survivor fandom, even though they didn't watch the CBS Challenge this summer. Much respect. I've been watching the challenge since Battle of the Sexes, so it's been a wild journey to hear their commentary. They had a lot of questions about, quote, this bananas guy, end quote, what's wrong with Tori, end quote. Did you ever notice that Jordan has something wrong with his hand? I pointed my mom in your direction, and she's listening to the podcast now, smiley face. I'm not sure if learning about the challenge this late in life is something anyone needs, but it's fun. Disagree. They appreciate the challenges on the show over the current challenges on Survivor. Hot take. Obviously, I added my own little commentary, but thank you, Emily. And thanks to Emily's parents. If you're still listening, glad to have you. Please continue to write in your takes. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah, love it. Is that a hot take? I feel like the challenge should have better challenges than Survivor.
Well, you know me. I'm like a hater because I don't like when they like roll in the tanks and stuff like that. Like, I'd rather watch a Survivor challenge, a Who Wants It More, like a big obstacle course. But yes, you're right. It's probably not a hot take.
It was just very funny that this course last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, when Survivor had the audacity to do a two-scene challenge. And it's like, dude, come over to MTV. We do like four-scene dailies. Like, this is a child's play.
Although we got to the elimination with just like 10 minutes, and I was like very worried about a TBC here.
Right. Yeah, because they probably could have... given where we stand, especially when if they did like a quick thing next week before the final, right after that. So they could have stretched that if they wanted to give Darrell and Kiki one more episode.
Speaking of stretch, let's stretch this podcast. We haven't done social media in a while for the season, but people have written to us and let us know that Danny pops off on Twitter every week. So
is this clearly Danny Pop-Off Corner?
I don't want to suggest that this is like a spoiler for his attitude towards the season, but like it seems like the rift between him and Tori has not been healed. And I don't know if he's just re-emerging with like being upset watching it back. Like that can happen a lot where like everything's squashed, everyone's happy, and then you watch it and you're like, I forgot how much it's pissed me off.
Right.
So somebody wrote, a listener, a fan of his wrote, if you don't get voted in, why the hell would you volunteer to go to the elimination? Actually, this person didn't even tag Danny, just did a hashtag the challenge world champ. I gotta see if Danny follows this guy. It's like, how did you find this tweet, Danny?
I think Danny's a lurker.
But it's not even the correct hashtag. It's challenge world champ. The challenge world champ.
If he just searches out like these type of tweets on his own, I have so much respect for that. Good for him.
So he quote tweeted that with two face palm emojis stored my season.
Did anyone comment underneath it, like tagging him in it, or was it just like a blank tweet?
Oh, interesting. Let's see. Great question. See, it went viral. Hard to tell if that's because Danny retweeted it. It has no responses.
I was going to say, the next layer would be like timestamps, right? Like what time did he tweet it? What time was the quote retweet? And is there a tag in between? But I guess there's a lot of comments in between that stuff.
Okay, thank God you're here because you understand viral tweeting. I misspoke. I wouldn't say this went viral because it got 33,000 views, but only 14 likes and two quote tweets.
Oh, that's not them.
And the quote tweet did not mention Danny, not hashtag him, tag him, anything. And Danny just wrote story of my season. Nobody responded, nobody tagged him. Like, he found this dude.
So he just found this. That's amazing.
I can't confirm if he's following him. Like maybe this is like a friend of his or something. Like, I don't know, but doesn't seem like it.
I guess. Sorry. So here's the next follow up question. The people that retweeted it or quote retweeted it. Is there anyone notable there that Danny saw it from them?
No, only two quote tweets. And one of them is Danny.
Wow. So he's just searching. He's just searching for Tori hate tweets.
This is fascinating. Hold on. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. We have time. I'm going to follow Danny. And then I'm going to see if Danny is following this guy.
Ooh, smart.
Because otherwise I have to scroll through all his followers. He only has $455. Like, no shade in that game. But he's not like...
You notice there's not like a search for followers or following on Twitter? It's very bizarre. Like, Instagram.
Yeah, I just noticed it now. I had to go back and...
We had that, Elon. Come on.
I don't think he even follows Danny.
Wow. Maybe it's his burner. Could you imagine? How many followers, how many tweets and followers does this guy have?
No, this guy's got 30,000 tweets.
Oh, okay.
A photo of him is his profile and almost 500 followers.
Maybe it was the long con for Danny's burner.
Hashtag the challenge world champ. Okay. So
I don't know. That's like a pretty popular hashtag. I think it's world champ or world championship people use. So that's not like
the challenge crazy. World champ.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would say that's the number two hashtag.
That's a terrible hashtag. I mean, so Danny is using hashtag the challenge world championship. Yeah. It's a terrible name. It's a terrible hashtag.
Yeah. Challenge for notoriously has had very long hashtags based off their season names. So this checks out.
Don't like it.
Anyway. Think about how long it is. I mean, we have to do spies, lies, and allies. I guess that was short in the SLA, but other things were like crazy long.
I'm sorry. It should really just be hashtag the challenge because
the number.
There's no competing challenge airing right now. Like there's no need to distinguish.
Right now is the key word.
All right. So Danny wrote, the lengths my partner will go through to save her friends and undermine our partnership is crazy. The number of times I've asked myself if she really wants to win the game or if she wants her friends to win is insane. Fair question.
It is fair. She probably doesn't care because she'll get money either way.
From April 26th, I bet a lot of the MVPs are watching this season and wishing they were more vocal instead of just blindly following their partners. Damn, he really lets it up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kiki in the mix. Kiki, Danny's wife, not Kiki from the show. Uh-oh, right. Looks like Danny and his partner are having a little heart-to-heart next week. Eyes emoji. And Danny wrote, we've had so many, LOL.
I love it. Danny, good for you, man. He just is in the mud.
He said this April 19th. I guess this is where people heard about the 50,000 thing. And Danny says, how it really went. Danny, we have to vote for Casey. She voted for us. Tori, Casey gave me $50,000. I can't do that. Danny, I got $50,000 for you right now. Get wallet for me. Tori, let's vote for us. 5 FaceTime emojis, 5 shrug emojis.
I'm pretty sure I read this one a few weeks ago. I think that was the one tagged in.
Not another podcast of Bananas and Friends showing how out of the know they were. FaceTime emoji. SMH and my man Jordan, but friends help friends, I guess.
Has he done the official one or even the Bananas one yet? I would love to listen to Danny.
I think they don't do it until they lose, right?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the official, but I think Bananas kind of does it haphazardly.
Oh my God, I gotta listen to this. Wait, he posted a clip from Ben's appearance on the official challenge podcast and said, people lying on these podcasts again, SMH. He lied for the entire episode, FaceTime emoji. I gotta listen to this clip, but I guess not the time. Right, he really goes off.
How long?
I mean,
the clip?
I can't play it. I've got headphones in.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's basically saying that he was willing to work with Danny, but Danny wasn't willing to talk to him. Okay.
Interesting. I imagine Ben's really fine, right? I feel like did it. I haven't really seen a follow up, but I think he's okay, right? After his medical separation.
I would bet you'd be able to find out from this episode of the Challenge Official Podcast.
I don't think so. Well, he's talking on it, so that's a good start.
Yeah, it's hot stuff. I just scrolled off his Twitter. Let's get the at. Drop the handle. Only 7,900 tweets from Danny. And I think like 50% are about this season of the challenge.
Yeah, camp. I was going to say. Yeah, I would say that most of them are from the last like 18 months.
At Danny DMAC44. Not a Rob Cesternino approved handle.
Well, what was it again? DMAC44?
No, I got out of it. I think that's right. Okay. Danny DMAC.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Non-related plug. I don't know if we can drop. Can we drop the plan? Because I'm wearing a sweatshirt that's from the Team Ariana shop that says number one guy in the group with an arrow pointing to me.
Yeah.
Had to buy that. Great merch.
Yeah. We could discuss. So we obviously did that one-off last season where I think I dropped probably the worst take I think I've ever had in my life now, looking back on it, that how Raquel had no place in this world. But we will now be doing some VPR coverage. We'll be
Brian, don't focus on your bad takes. Focus on my good takes where I said Raquel was emerging as the face of the show.
That's right.
And was ready to step into her power.
Right. And oh, she stepped in it all right. we'll be covering the Pup Rules finale. And then there's a 3-part reunion. We'll be here for that. So a 4-week special event.
Well, we won't be here.
We won't be in this feed. We will be in the Bravo feed that was born out of the Below Deck sailing yacht. And also sort of the traders, but I guess more so Below Deck sailing yacht. In that feed, the Bravo feed. I would imagine it's like robinswebsite.com/Bravo, but
I think Bravo feed. I feel like
the Bravo feed. The Bravo feed.
Giving. So
yeah, we'll be doing it. We will be joined by the great Haley Strong, the great TikTok Nicole, and a non-zero chance that the great Emily Moses Cohen will join for an episode or two.
I thought you were going to do my wife.
Or my wife. But yeah, it's going to be a smorgasbord of event. It's crazy. It's this season is. Whew. Get to
yeah,
it.
It's, you know, it, I will say I'm a big Survivor fan, obviously. I guess that goes without saying, but I said it. I came home yesterday and I watched Vanderpump Rules immediately. Like, yeah. It was just like, do not pass go. Do not collect $200 of Survivor enjoyment. Have to watch. But I turned it off halfway through and I had to go to bed. I never do that. I never prioritize sleep over television. And I was like, I am so now emotionally and physically exhausted from especially where we're at now, watching Ariana like defend them. I'm like, I can't. I have to consume it in small doses.
I have a confession. I've been watching like later, like each weekend, I've been watching the Jackson Brittany watch the episode as well. I've actually really enjoyed their commentary. It's weird. Kristen was on Watch What Happens Live, the Jackson Brittany stuff. I've seen like clips from Stassi. The gang's getting back together.
Well, here's the funny thing about that. I saw actually Andy say on some TikTok clip on a podcast of a podcast of his saying that, like, are you like that he called the producers and was like, you really didn't know this was going on. Like, look at everyone saying all this. Like, how did you not get this? And they were like, we took Ariana's lead. And Ariana was like, Raquel's one of my best friends. I trust her. Like, I know her. So it's not a story.
Interesting.
My God.
Yeah. I will go to my grave thinking the producers had to know the whole time. That's how I just can't
imagine. They're not like surveilled 24/7, you know, like show up for like appointment filming.
There might be a lot more than sometimes they probably realize. I mean, those are not the smartest people. Like, I know they're like smart.
Tom's been doing this for 10 years. You think he doesn't know when his mic is on?
I guess so. I mean, he's gotten caught with stuff. He talks his way out of it, but he's gotten caught with stuff. But I don't know. I would love to, like, the alternate reality where this news didn't drop. I want to know what my brain would be thinking watching this season. Like, when I'd be like, oh, this is ridiculous. Of course, this wouldn't happen.
Oh,
like,
I never would believe it.
Like, screw Katie. Raquel's just trying to, like, you know, emerge after the James situation. Like, I want to know what my brain would be going through, but that is not a world we will ever live in.
I live in that world because when I read the news, I didn't believe it. I was like, absolutely not. So like, even with all of this, the fact that she and Tom Schwartz are like continuing this like little flirt mance, and I just never would have believed that Raquel or Tom would do it in this group like this. Like, I know I would not have believed it in the way that I didn't believe it when Kristen had sex with Jax while Tom was there. Like, right. I'm just like, that was crazy. And I recall not believing it. Like,
right.
It's anyway, didn't mean to make this into a Pump Rules podcast yet.
Yeah, we'll save it for 2 weeks.
To be talking about it.
Save it for 2 weeks. The finale. I mean, this might be like one of the highest rated like network shows. I want to know the numbers because it's going to be off the charts high, the finale and then the first part of the reunion. So
they better do it right. They better do this 4-part reunion, 3-part reunion right. Because
I mean, the way they've hyped it up, they've hyped this thing up like it's, you know, we're going to Roman Coliseum event. So should be good.
They should block it out like a 3-hour, 1-part Super Bowl event. And they'd be able to sell ads like no one's business.
I said I would have genuinely paid hundreds of dollars to be in the audience live for that reason.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
You could check out. This,
I was going to say for this, we just got 2 more weeks. So, you know, also not going away here. We got a world champion to crown. So there you go.
And you can't be a world champion if you haven't gotten to elimination. So who knows if we'll even have a viable
right
option.
So robinswebsite.com/challengefeed. Cohen Brown underscore for Twitter and TikTok. And for you?
Yeah, at Lash Tweets on Twitter. That's where you can get the check questions thread there also. I'm just confirming that /BravoFeed. Yeah, that's right. And you could go to listen to New Girl Old Guy this week. We talked about Accepted. We've wrapped up season 4 of New Girl. Took a little break to watch a movie. It was a lot of fun. I'm hearing reports that it was a funny podcast, although I can't recall. And then we'll be back to cover, start season 5. A year to go.
Amazing. All right. We'll be back next week. Episode 11. 2 weeks, pump rules. Until then, have a good one.